we present Breaking Point, a drama of the race course, adapted in 6 parts by Roy Lomax from the novel Nerve by Dick Francis, and featuring Michael Kitchen as Rob Finn in Episode 2, A Matter of Confidence.
How's your head feel now, Rob?
Not too good.
I'm not surprised. The bloke who hit you wasn't messing about.
But I don't understand, Tick-Tock. What was so special about that list of horses?
Now, don't you bother about that list. Mr. Axminster can soon give you another.
But it must have been important for somebody to steal it.
Did you get a good look at him? Or the one that clobbered you?
No.
It might have helped when you reported.
I'm not going to report it.
It's only sensible, pal.
I'm not feeling very sensible. God, if I find out who did it...
I know, you'll tear him apart with your bare hands.
Not half, I won't.
Come on, let's get you on your feet.
Oh, God.
Steady now, Leto.
Oh. I'll be all right.
Well, what about tomorrow? You're riding in the 2:30.
I'll tell Mr. Axminster what's happened. I'll be okay if I get a good rest tonight.
Right, we'll get you over to first aid. Let them have a look at you. Then I'll give you a lift back to London.
Hunter's Hill, 324.
Mr. James Axminster.
Speaking.
I want a word with you, Governor.
Yes?
Do you want to hear about a bloke what's doing the dirty on you?
Who are you?
Oh, never you mind.
I'm sorry, if you won't give me your name, I'm not prepared to listen to you.
Not even when it's about one of your regular jockeys?
Will you please tell me who is speaking?
Yeah, one of your jockeys. He's passing the message. Now, I call that rough on you. Dead rough.
Now, see here. I will not listen to irresponsible gossip and lies from the likes of you.
I wouldn't lie to you, Governor. It's your jockey, Grant Oldfield. He's the one passing the message.
Grant Oldfield? I'm not listening to this. Good night.
Wait a minute. If you don't believe me, you just have a word with Maurice Kemp Law. He'll tell you all about it.
This is ridiculous.
And Lubbock, the bookie, he'll tell you.
I shan't ask you again. Who the devil are you?
A well-wisher, Governor. That's what I am. And remember what I said. You ask Maurice Kemp Law.
Hello. 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 Hello.
Have you got a ride in the first race, Grant?
No. Worse luck.
Me neither. Now, why don't I play you a couple of hands of solo?
No, I'm skint.
Well, how about you, Rob? Try to beat the luck of the Irish?
No, thanks, Tick-Tock.
I'm going off to read my paper.
Come on, Clooney. Let's be having you.
He's not here, Mr. Keller.
Where the hell is he, then?
Well, I haven't seen him today.
Oh, damn, he's late again.
He'll be along, all right.
I can't wait. I've got to name a jockey for the 1:30. Have you got a ride, Tick-Tock?
Not till the third.
Right, you're on. It's the filly Sugarpuss. Get moving.
You see, pal, you just have to be in the right place at the right time.
You notice he didn't offer it to me.
Well, after what happened between you and Keller at the inquiry on Arthur Matthews...
He's not my best pal.
Your best pal is yourself. That's my philosophy. Well, I'd better go and get me silks. Ah, good day to you, Mr. Axminster.
Hello, Tick-Tock. I'm looking for Rob Finn.
Rob, Mr. Axminster wants you.
Oh, hello, sir.
You made it all right then, lad. How's the head?
Oh, it's fine now, sir.
Breezy hit it. Well, you have a couple of good chances today, Rob. I don't expect miracles, but I want to see you do well. It's quite important.
Right, sir.
God, I thought I was never going to make it. Talk about a panic.
Don't bother, Cock. You missed the boat.
What do you mean?
Keller dropped you. Tick-Tock's riding you, man.
God, just my rotten luck.
I don't know about luck, Clooney, but you're certainly getting yourself a bad reputation.
It wasn't my fault I was late, Mr. Axminster. Honest.
Maybe. If you take my advice, you'll try and get to the course on time.
Yes, sir. Be careful, he says. Wait till I tell the wife. I should be out there earning some money.
Yeah, you can say that again.
So you didn't make it for once?
For once? It's the fifth time I've been late in 3 weeks.
Five times?
God, you will be popular.
But it's not my fault, Rob.
Oh, come off it.
Honest, Grant, it's like a curse on me. Nothing seems to go right. First, I had 3 flat tires. 3, mind you. Then I got water in the tank, God knows how. And the lane where I live was blocked.
These things happen.
Well, everything seems to be happening to me. I'm having trouble with the trainers. As for the horses...
What about them?
You'd think I was a carrier of sleeping sickness. The brutes see me coming, then doze off. It's not funny. I'll tell you, Rob, I'm going off the racing game fast.
Yeah, you and me both.
You'll make out all right.
You just show me a nice 9-to-5 job, and I'll show you how I can make out better.
Oh, come on, Peter.
Well, I certainly couldn't be any worse than I am right now.
You could be dead, mate.
I couldn't go wrong with him, Mr. Keller. He was taking them like a dream.
Yes, he's a good ride on his day. I was thinking, you can take the rest of Clooney's mounts this afternoon if you're free.
I'm afraid I can't help you out. I'm sorry, Mr. Keller.
Oh, all right, forget it.
Hello there, Rob.
Hi. A nice race, Tick-Tock. Hello, Mr. Keller.
Yeah. Do you know of any other free jockeys?
Not one, sir. Except, of course, Peter Clooney. You'll be all right with him.
Well, it seems I haven't much option. Let me have the silks as soon as you can.
I'll do that, Mr. Keller. There you are, Rob. Smile, pal. The television camera's pointing our way. Pretend you haven't noticed.
I didn't know they were here today.
Covering the next 3 races. So watch what you say to the trainer. I'll swear Morris Kemp Law can lip read.
That's how you become an expert.
You could be right. Still, Kemp Law knows his onions.
He talks a lot of sense on his TV program.
Well, so he should. He was brought up to it. And having a father on the National Hunt Committee can't do him any harm.
Oh, that's an advantage I could live with.
Yeah, the old boy rode a Grand National winner back in the 30s.
Then it's in the blood.
Not for Morris. Didn't you know? He has an allergy or something. Horses give him asthma.
I don't believe it.
It's true.
That's odd. Working close to something that disagrees with you.
It's not odd at all. Women disagree with me, and I can't get close enough. Well, I'd better go and turn in these silks. See you later.
Right. I'll be around the stables looking over the competition.
Look at those quarters. A year or two, and she's going to be more than useful. Don't you agree?
Yes. Sorry, I didn't realize you were talking to me.
Finn, isn't it? Rob Finn.
That's right. And you're Maurice Kemp Law, of course.
Yes.
I recognize you from the TV.
Well, that's one of the penalties, I'm afraid.
Yes, I suppose so.
Can you spare a moment?
Yes, sure.
Do you mind if we move?
No, of course not.
As a matter of fact, I'm pleased I've bumped into you. I was hoping to have word.
With me?
Well, to ask you a favor, really.
Well, go ahead.
You know I do a program on racing every Friday evening.
Oh, yes, I'm a regular viewer.
Ah, well, the point is, I've been wanting to do a piece on jockeys who are... what shall I say? Relatively unsuccessful. The ones who never hit the headlines.
Oh, yes.
The public know all about the top jockeys, the big retainers, fat presents. But I want to show the other side, how the less successful jockeys live. The insecurity, reliance on chance rides. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think so.
Now, I hope you won't be offended if I say that... you are typical.
Oh, I don't know. Things are beginning to look up.
Yes, but at this moment of time, I mean, you could hardly say that you were successful.
No.
Now, I'd like you to come on my program, tell the viewers about racing from your point of view. After all, the publicity won't do you any harm.
Well, if you're sure.
You'd be perfect. And, by the way, you'd get a fee... And expenses.
Oh, that's always useful.
Good. Let's settle then.
I hope you say the right things.
I'll ask my assistant to send you a list of the sort of questions I'll be asking.
Thanks.
Good. Next Friday evening, then, at the Elmdene Studios. Can you be there by 7:30?
Sure.
Fine. See you Friday. Oh, all the best for the 2:30.
Thanks.
So now you've met the great man himself.
Oh, where did you spring from?
Out of the ground. I'm a leprechaun, didn't you know? Well, I hope you were suitably impressed.
More surprised than impressed, Tick-Tock. He's asked me to appear on his show Friday night.
Well, now, isn't that the turn-up for the book? You'll be a star yet.
Oh, some hopes. By the way, have you seen Mr. Axminster? I want a word with him.
Yes, just now. He's over there talking to Kemp Law.
Look a bit involved, don't they? I'll leave it for a bit.
So there's nothing new from the Axminster stables? No titbits for the viewing millions?
No, not today, Morris. But there's something I'd like to ask you.
Well, please do, James.
Well, it's only a rumor. At least I think it is.
Oh?
I know we feel the same about rumors, but this one is worrying. Something I feel I have to check.
Well, if I could help, by all means.
It concerns Grant Oldfield.
Oh, I see.
Have you heard anything about him recently?
No. At least, nothing that I would care to repeat.
But you have heard something.
Well?
I'll treat it in confidence, of course.
That's not the point, James. Rumors can do a lot of damage, hurt a lot of innocent people before they're stopped.
Well, I appreciate your tact, Morris, but... Well, I'll come to the point. I've heard that Grant Oldfield has been passing the message.
It isn't illegal, James.
No, but I don't like to think my jockeys are passing tips to professional backers. It's damned unethical.
That's true.
Then I take it you believe it is more than a rumor?
No, I didn't say that, James. But I have heard from a number of sources, one of them quite reliable.
So it is true.
I can't believe that Grant is capable of such a thing. My advice is that you forget all about it. Just don't let him know too much in future.
What sort of a relationship is that between a jockey and a trainer?
Well, there you are. I'm sure you'll think of something, James.
Morris, thank you. Well, I won't involve you anymore. I better get over to the parade ring and give young Finn his instructions.
How do you rate him, James?
Promising. Yes, very promising. Why do you ask?
I'm interested. I've just asked him to appear on my program.
Really?
Yes, as, as an unsuccessful jockey.
Well, he's been doing nicely just lately. Well played several times. You might care to keep an eye on him.
Yes, James, I will.
Now, lad, you've had a good look at Kingfisher.
Yes, sir. In the stables, he's in good shape.
He's a good horse. On his day, one of the best. Trouble is, he's one-paced. Right over the hurdles, but you've got to keep him moving. If you're up with the leaders at the turn, you're in with a chance.
Good, I remember that.
You know, I'm depending on you to put up a good show.
Well, I'll do my best, Mr. Axminster.
I know you will, lad. Anyway, the owner's putting a few quid on Kingfisher, if that helps your confidence.
And they're into the straight, Chinatown, two lengths clear. Then it's Ginger Pop, Kingfisher and Tarrant in a tight group. The rest of the field, 10, 11 lengths back. Tarrant and Ginger Pop beginning to feel the early pace. Kingfisher holding and making up on Chinatown. And Chinatown just has it at the last. Kingfisher taking it up on the stand side. He's got the better going. He's coming away from Chinatown. Rob Finn looks over his shoulder. He won't be caught now. And at the line, it's Kingfisher by 5 lengths from Chinatown. If Brindle just gets his nose ahead of Ginger Pop the third. Barrett fifth, Archangel six, and Big Bang.
You were bright to come over on the stand side.
He likes the firmer going, doesn't he?
I knew you could bring in a winner.
Thanks, Mr. Axminster.
How do you feel now?
Oh, great. It's a great feeling.
Well, when you've got your breath back, I'd like a word.
Sure, Mr. Axminster.
Well, Rob, as you said, it's a great feeling. You'll never forget your first real winner.
I believe you.
Could be the first of many, you know.
You think so?
I'm sure. You've got the right approach. You're ambitious. I think you've got some talent. That was a good display on Kingfisher.
I think the horse deserves the credit.
But someone had to ride him, and you rode him well. Rob, I've got a proposition. You know, Pip Pankhurst is my first jockey.
Yes, he's good. One of the best.
Now, what do you say about more regular riding for my stable? More or less, number two to Pip. You learn a lot working with him.
I don't know what to say, Mr. Axminster. I mean...
Come on, lad. Are you interested?
I'll say I am. But what about Grant Oldfield? He's your other regular, isn't he?
He'll still be getting rides.
Well, in that case...
Good. So, from now on, I don't want you to accept any rides without finding out first if I need you.
Yes, sir.
And about your appearing on television.
Oh, you know about that?
Yes. I'll give you a tip, lad.
What's that?
Treat the occasion as if it were a race. If you find yourself being jostled, don't fight. Ease your way out. And always remember that Maurice Kemp-Lore is the favorite in the studio.
Your usual, Mr. Keller? A double scotch?
Yes. Have something yourself.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, Corin.
Ah, James. Not often I see you in here. How are you, Oldfield?
Not so bad, Mr. Keller.
Oh, well, you have.
Not just now, Corin. We've just come in for a quiet chat.
Please yourself.
I think that table in the corner, Grant.
Yes, sir.
Now, Grant, we've known each other for a good few years, so I don't need to beat about the bush.
Oh, what's wrong, Mr. Axminster?
I think you know, Grant. I'm not only disappointed in you, I'm just surprised you could be so disloyal.
Disloyal? Mr. Axminster, I don't know what you're talking about. What have I done?
Come on, man. You might as well own up to it. Passing the message is bad enough.
Passing? Look, I've never passed the message, never. Not on you, not anyone else.
Please, Grant, I know it happened. I've spoken to Lubbock.
Lubbock? Who's he?
Don't come the innocent. I spoke to him on the phone and he said it was you.
Oh, I don't know anyone called Lubbock.
I'd hoped we could sort this out. I'm still prepared to accept your promise that you won't do it again.
If you want that sort of promise, Mr. Axminster, then you better ask someone else for it.
Very well, Grant. You give me no alternative. Passing the message is bad for me and the stables. And I want a jockey I can trust. I'll still give you the occasional ride when I can. But I've decided not to keep you on as a regular jockey.
Well, that's all right with me.
I'm sorry, Grant.
Yeah, and I'm sorry too, Mr. Axminster. Sorry you've turned out to be the same as everyone else in this lousy game. Believe everything you hear. Oh, God, this game stinks.
Grant.
One thing's for sure. Somebody's got their needle in for me.
Here, James, I brought you a drink.
Thank you, I need it.
The old Oldfield didn't look too happy when he went out.
I didn't notice.
Is he giving you problems?
You tell me a jockey who doesn't.
Oh, come on now, James. I know trainers and I know jockeys, and I know who's usually to blame.
I sometimes wonder.
And by the way, have you heard about Danny Higgs?
Sam Bassett's jockey?
Yes, I'm told he's in trouble with a gambling crowd.
Oh, that doesn't sound like Higgs.
Well, up to his ears in debt, apparently, and something about pawning some silverware that doesn't belong to him.
You're sure it's not just another rumor?
No, I had it from very good authority.
Corin, we always hear it from very good authority.
Well, the same one told me Finn will be riding your second string.
Oh, really?
Not that I believed it, mind you. An occasional ride, yes. But not for your second string.
I can always use a good jockey, Corin.
Well, yes, but, well, surely not Finn. I mean, he's a cheeky devil.
I hadn't noticed it.
Well, you will. That young man is far too sure of himself for my liking. One of these days he'll come a cropper, you see, if he doesn't.
Stand by, everybody. Okay, camera one. All right, Maurice. 2 minutes to go.
Yes, coming. This way, Rob. Mind you don't trip over the cables. Henry.
Yes, Maurice?
I think we'll have to forget my other guest.
No, exception just arrived. He's just arrived. He's been drinking.
Oh, no.
Tight as a coot.
Oh, well, if politicians can get away with it... don't worry, Rob.
Worry? Why should I?
Yes, of course. Anyway, you must know Corin Keller quite well, I should think.
Corin Keller? Oh, and the man said he was drunk.
Well, perhaps he'll sober up a bit when we get him in front of the camera.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of This Racing World. I'm Maurice Kemp-Lore and each week I introduce news and items of interest to racegoers everywhere. Tonight, I shall be discussing the career of champion hurdler Golden Sunset with owner-trainer Stan Blackthorne. But first, an aspect of racing that is often overlooked.
We all know the champion jockeys, the regular winners, the household names. But what of the smaller cogs? The jockeys who, with just an occasional ride, rarely hit the headlines, and yet who are a necessary part to this racing world. Rob Finn is one of these jockeys, and he's here this evening to tell us something of his life in racing. Now, Rob, I know that since we arranged for you to appear on this program, you have had your first real win.
Yes, last Wednesday at Dunstable.
Ah, good. But you're still basically representative of what I call the smaller cogs. So tell me, Rob, how did you get started as a jockey?
Oh, I was lucky. I knew a farmer who owned and trained his own horses. I asked him to let me try my hand in a race.
I see. Now, it's usual for national hunt jockeys to start either as amateur riders or as apprentices on the flat.
That's true. But I was too old to be an apprentice, and I'd already earned my living at riding, so I couldn't be an amateur.
Really?
Yes. I spent a few years in Australia and South America as a stockman most of the time. But I had a year in New South Wales working in a travelling rodeo.
What, 10 seconds on the bucking bronco?
Yes, something like that.
I see. Well, that's very interesting. Now, let's look at your career as a jockey. I suppose you might have earned more from, say, driving a van during the past couple of years.
Yes, I suppose you're right.
Well, has it been worth it?
Oh, yes. I've already had one good win and been placed a few times and, well, after all, my whole future is right there ahead of me.
Oh, thank you, Rob. And I'm sure we all wish you very good luck. And now a trainer's point of view. Corin Keller, what would you say to a jockey starting off in the sport?
They all complain too much. They're always making excuses.
No, Corin. My question was...
And if they're no good at that job, they shouldn't expect to be highly paid.
Now, that's not fair, Mr. Keller.
You've had your say, Finn. Look, racehorse owners aren't fools. They aren't going to waste their money and their horses if they've got no confidence in a jockey.
Yes, but surely, Corin, you'd agree every jockey has to make a start.
Nobody forces them to ride. All they seem to think about nowadays is money.
But some of them have families to support.
Then they'd be better off in a factory earning a regular weekly wage.
Oh, you can't mean that.
I do. If they can't face losing without sniveling about how poor they are, they ought to get out of racing altogether.
But we don't want to get out of racing.
Oh, no. Because you all like wearing those bright silks. People look at you, eh? Flat as your little ego.
Well, that was straight from the shoulder. What do you say to that, Rob?
You give me a race to ride in, and I don't care what I'm wearing.
So what's your reason for wanting to ride?
I don't know. I just want to. And that's a good enough reason for doing anything, in my opinion.
Just wanting to ride.
That's right, and to win. And if you're going to ask me why...
Yeah, I know. Just wanting to is good enough reason.
Right.
Well, how do you feel about that, Corin?
That's a lot of bunkum. Never mind the philosophy and fancy ideas. We're supposed to be talking about a horse racing.
Rob Finn?
Rob, it's James Axminster.
Oh, yes, sir.
I saw the TV show. I thought you came over well.
I didn't think so at the time.
Oh, you mean Keller. It didn't take much imagination to guess his condition.
In television, they call it being unwell.
Certainly unwise. Anyway, I'll see you tomorrow at Plumpton. You're riding for me in the 1:15 race.
Yes, sir.
I'd like you for the 2:45 as well, all right?
Oh, yes, thank you, sir.
By the way, how's the head?
What?
It must be okay. Did you ever discover who hit you?
No. Do you know, I'd completely forgotten about that.
Well, a lot's happened to you in the last few days. Anyway, see you tomorrow. Good night, lad.
Good night, Mr. Axminster, and thanks again for calling. Bye.
Hey, Rob. Pip Plankhurst riding in this race. Shall we go take a look-see?
No, I can't, Tick-Tock. I'm riding in the next. There isn't time.
We've only got to go round the back of the dressing room. The TV boys have left a monitor screen back there. Come on, see for yourself.
Oh, in colour, of course.
Would I offer you anything else?
And that's the last of the runners in this 2.5-mile chase, with Pip Plankhurst riding the favourite Applejack. They're under orders. And they're off.
Coming down the hill into the first fence. Applejack boxed in on the rails. And they come into the first jump, and they're all tightly bunched. And, oh! Oh, Applejack's down.
Ooh.
He's a faller at the first.
Will you look at that, Rob?
The horse is on.
God, I hope he's okay.
It's a nasty one. Come on, Rob. Let's go and wait for him at the first aid room.
And they're going at a good gallop with Wonderbar just up on Jamaica Inn. These two pulling away from the rest.
Yes, I'll pick up his gear and put it in my car. I'll see you at the hospital.
Mr. Axminster?
Yes, what is it?
How's Pip?
It's a broken leg. A bad one.
I guessed it might be.
That's terrible.
Yes, Rob. That's him out for a good few weeks.
If he's lucky.
I'm sorry to hear it, sir.
No more than I am, Rob. You know, you're going to be busy. You'll have to take over some of Pip's rides. And I want you up on Template tomorrow.
Who, me?
Yes.
But Template's your top chaser.
That's right. Now, you better get off to weigh in for the next race.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Ah, Dick Jock. Pip's gear. I wonder if you'd mind.
Of course not, sir.
Oh, excuse me. Mr. Axminster.
Yes, Grant.
I've just heard about Pip. I'm sorry.
Yes, he's in a bad way.
Mr. Axminster, look, about what I said last night, I shot my mouth off. I'm sorry.
Let's forget it.
No,
Grant.
I can't. I want to put things right between us. Well, now that Pip's crocked up, you'll need someone to take his place. I mean, there's Template in the Greenwood Stakes tomorrow.
I've got a rider for the big race, Grant.
Did Tick-Tock get in first?
No, it's not him. I'm going to use Rob Finn.
You don't mean that, Mr. Axminster.
Yes, I do, Grant.
But he's only a kid. I mean, Template's co-favorite. Finn's still wet behind the ears. He hasn't got a tenth of my experience.
That's true. But you see, I can trust him, Grant. I can trust him.
And that was episode 2 of our Saturday morning serial Breaking Point, dramatized by Roy Lennox and based on Nerve, the novel by Dick Francis. The producer was John Fawcett Wilson.